Good afternoon. Happy, what is it today? Midday? It's the March 14th. It's Pi Day, Hill. Oh, you're Josh Hill. Where's Jake Valerius? What the hell's going on here? Where's my guy?
He's not here. So you get me with no accent and half the intelligence.
Nah. You're right there, Jake.
We're here.
It's
Pi Day.
We have an incredible show for you today. We got the NCAA tournament. I have the winner right here. We're going to obviously disclose that. We'll go through each region. We got NFL free agency that we're going to hit in about 12 minutes from now. But first, it is National Pi Day, Hill. We've got a pumpkin, we've got a lemon meringue, we've got an apple. What are you going with? I can see you going with the pumpkin.
Pumpkin. I'm from Minnesota. Tried and true.
Me too. Also with the pumpkin. By the way, this is a bad job. Where is the, I like an ice cream with my pie. I feel like this is a
whipped cream. You usually put whipped
cream. Right, a whipped cream, something. This is a so good. It's a little frozen here,
Usually you take pies out of the freezer before you,
but that's what
there's no bad way to enjoy a pie.
Can you just pick up a pie?
You can't.
Oh.
All right.
That was delicious. All right.
You're a slow chewer, man.
It's Pi Day. Well,
people came to hear about our brackets.
But Pi Day. Pie.
How far into pie can you get? Go.
3.14, I'll guess 6.
I don't know.
Do you know? Does anybody know? Anybody in the audience? Peanut Gallery? Vertoram? 3.14? No. Okay. All right, let's move on. NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
We're going to start in the South region, Hill, and the number one seed, Virginia. But major news here, DeAndre Hunter, sixth man of the year in the ACC, nearly scoring 10 a game. Maybe their best NBA prospect is out with he's got the broken left wrist, which happened in the NCAA tournament. You still picking Virginia out of the South?
I am. A lot of people, I think, are going to pick Arizona
right here
to come out of there.
Zona.
But I just don't know. The way that they match up doesn't really – it doesn't jive with me. I think that they're going to get through Creighton because I don't think Creighton's going to lose in the first round. I think you're going to get – a Virginia-Creighton matchup. And then, I don't know, Arizona's their biggest threat to come out of there. And Cincinnati, I want to pick Cincinnati. I want to believe in Cincinnati. But when have you ever felt comfortable being like, you know who's going to go deep into this tournament? The Bearcats.
Well,
you never said that.
The Bearcats, they play D along with Virginia, which is my problem, by the way. Defense is cool.
Yeah.
But you got to do both. I mean, Virginia scores 67.5.
Yeah.
All right, and I know they're coming out of the tough. They have 30-plus wins and all that. But you're taking out one of their better scorers off the bench.
That's true.
They score 67. That's 308 out of 351 Division I teams. I can't pick Virginia. And I think Creighton, to me, is a sexy call. 84 a night, Creighton. Creighton can shoot you from deep. Creighton can spread you out. I actually have the Blue Jays going all the way to the Sweet 16. I also have Loyola, 11 seed, going to the Sweet 16. Five players all scoring between 10.5 and 13.4 points per game. The Loyola Ramblers, a little biased because we were there.
A little biased. There's a lot of bias. It's right up the road.
All right, majorly biased for the Ramblers. First time since 1985.
It's true.
You don't remember Al Frederick Hughes, but I do from my childhood. Were you born in 1985?
I wasn't born in 1985.
I was born in 1985. That was a great Loyola team. Love that team. So I got to pick the Ramblers. So I got them both in the Sweet 16, which, by the way, whole point of the tournament, you pick teams that you like. Don't be one of those guys that just has to, like, go chalk the whole way and try to win it. You're not going to win it anyway. Be sexy. Go with the heart. You're like a smart guy who's like delved into I've got all the details here, but I still got to pick with my heart.
Is that an insult that you just like don't be the smart guy to make the bracket go with your heart and you just call me the smart guy?
Might have been a slight insult, but I think
you've got Creighton. Texas is another team to pay attention to because Mo Bamba. I just want Mo Bamba.
I'll high five on Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba. If I had the number one overall pick in the draft, I might take Mo Bamba. I love Mo Bamba. You know who he reminds me of? I mean, maybe it's because he's in the Texas burnt orange, the whole thing. He reminds me, a little bigger, but of a Kevin Durant when he played there. Now, Durant, obviously not a center, but you watch Mo Bamba, dude puts it on the floor, he can shoot it from three, drives it to the hole, finishes with the left and the right, dunks it in traffic. I mean, I love me some Mo Bamba.
Yeah, I've always hated NBA comparisons to college players, though, because it's like, he's Kevin Durant. But no, Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant. Mo Bamba is not Kevin Durant. He's a really good player, though. And he's going to get a lot of attention here from a lot of NBA fans that are watching. So hopefully that's one of the reasons why they go deep. I don't know. I think it's a 7-10 match. I don't think they're going to be going too far into this, but you know, Mo Bamba. As long as I can get some Mo Bamba in my life,
I got Texas in the Elite Eight, and
I got him just at least the Sweet 16.
I got him beating
with
Loyola
not a lot
in the
of confidence,
Sweet 16.
But.
I got Arizona coming out of the region. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Ayton has been a monster. His last two games, 32-18, 32-14. He's 27 for his last 36. Mm-hmm. For the record, he doesn't just dunk the basketball. If you haven't watched him, he can shoot it too. DeAndre Ayton. Ahead of Mo Bamba, I would actually say, if I had to pick, I'm not going to, I guess you got to take the big man come NBA draft time. Maybe he'll be the number one or number two overall pick. So that's why I'm taking Arizona. Best player in the region, just ahead of Mo Bamba, DeAndre Ayton.
I still like Virginia. I'll probably be wrong about that. But if they do match up with Arizona, the ball handling for Virginia is one of their strengths. And defensively, Arizona is very weak. So I want to see how that matches up. Again, things can get weird. You know, this could come down to a free throw game because we see that happen a lot. Offensive and defensive rebounding is something that people kind of skirt over and you have to pay attention to. That's why I don't think Creighton and Loyola are going to go too far in this tournament because they don't – on the offensive glass, they're not really good.
Fair enough.
But with those two, I don't know. But I've still got Virginia. Arizona's not a bad pick. It's just the wrong pick.
Right. All right, let's go with the old Midwest here. And this is where Kansas is your number one seed, but this is not a Jayhawk team that is no. loaded with lottery picks or really any lottery picks for that matter. Mm-hmm. So it's a different KU. You have the Dukies and I guess the best player in the region in Marvin Bagley, but you know, and then you got Michigan State and Miles Bridges, so you can make that argument too.
Yeah.
Who do you got in the Midwest?
I like Michigan State.
Do you really?
I gotta say, Michigan State coming out of the Midwest. You know, don't bet against Tom Izzo. It's good. It's good there. I think Duke is going to be somebody that people pick a little bit too much. Every year, somebody picks Duke to go far, and you know, Mike Krzyzewski was talking about it the other day. He's like, "Man, we've only won this thing five times," and you put that into the scope of how many times Duke has been in the tournament. There's no such thing as a safe bet, even if you have one of the greatest coaches of all time. Michigan State, I feel like the team that they have right now, the way that they match up against the rest of the region, is going to work really well. You, on the other hand, you're going bold here.
I do. Hold on a second. Well, first of all, Ohio State's losing in the first round. They've lost 3 of 5. South Dakota State's coming in there, and they're going to knock out the Buckeyes, just for the record. Wow. I'm sorry. I just jumped the Buckeyes into the wrong region. But
I was going to say.
my bad. Did you not just say the Buckeyes? I was Duke. Ohio State. Ohio State, Michigan State. I apologize.
It's madness.
All right. This is what I like about TCU. First mm-hmm. of all, they've got one guy that I just is super interesting coming out of the South Sudan, and Kawhat Noy, who is going to be the next Luol Deng. Now he's only a freshman, but so I greatly appreciate that story and what he's what he does. He can shoot the three. He's an energy guy. I love him. Vladimir Brodzianski at the rim. TCU is starting 6'7", 6'7", 6'11", up front. They also have an offense that's ranked in the nation's top 20 in 6 different categories. What do you think of that, Hill?
I think that they're going to lose to Arizona State in the first round, assuming Arizona State wins. They've got really speedy guards, and you know, Texas, TCU, they don't really defend very well at high levels of that defense. So I think that's going to be a problem for them. And you know, they rank in the bottom 50% of all teams in defense. So
right.
It's a bold pick. I would say it's a very bold pick.
And to your Michigan State love, the whole NCAA tournament scandal, you know, it would be kind of interesting. Like, I just picked Arizona. Mm-hmm. If Izzo and company get to the final, wouldn't that be kind of – I would like to see how that would play out. You know, how they would cover it,
yeah.
if they would cover it at all. What, do you think they will?
You like, have to. How can you not cover that?
Right.
So I think it's going to come up a little bit in the first rounds, and as these teams get deeper, it's going to come up a little bit more.
Okay. Let's move to the East region.
All right.
And me and you are both – we're both rocking St. Bonaventure as a Cinderella here.
Yeah.
Do you tell me why, I'll tell you why.
I mean, you're rocking them a little bit deeper than I am. I just like them.
I took the Bonnies to the Sweet 16.
I've got them beating Florida, but I don't have them going much further than that. So they're just, you know, when you have these play-in games, it's a factor that a lot of people kind of don't take into consideration when thinking. They've got a game under their belt. You know, this isn't a 16 going against a 1. They're coming into this a little bit of a higher seed. They've got that game under their belt. They're coming in with some experience. They're coming in fired up. They're in the tournament. They're going against a Florida team that's very beatable. I like them. I like them to win the first round, not the second round.
The other thing, play-in games are huge if you look at the history of the tournament. Every year, at least one of the play-in teams makes it to the round of 32. Mm-hmm. Half since they've put the play-in Creighton game,
oh, yeah,
have made it to the Sweet 16. So I was looking for somebody. So I took the St. Bonnie. Now, also, I think a very interesting matchup in the first round, Texas Tech and Stephen F. Austin. First of all,
yeah,
that's a game where Stephen F. Austin, they score it 84, and they also defend it. Mm-hmm. So, and you've got a Texas Tech team that is injured coming in here. So Keenan Evans and the toe has been out. So this is not the same team that was red hot earlier in the season. So I look at that. And then, you know, you play it through. And you look at, you know, I mean, how do you not like Villanova? I
like Villanova. I've got him winning the region.
Right.
So.
Right. So same. I mean, I got Nova too. But the other thing, you know, I have Villanova, and because you got to pick a one seed somewhere, and they shoot it incredibly well.
Yeah.
And I love me some Jalen Brunson, mm-hmm. but I mean, the worry with Nova is that they have an off shooting night, which is a worry for a lot of teams in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can have an off shooting night. So, I mean, you know, Texas Tech could have an off shooting night in the first round of the tournament, and all of a sudden, Stephen F. Austin's in the next round. So,
another cool matchup in that Murray State and West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Racers have won 13 in a row, and they're the Racers. You got to love a Murray State team with a hot little run coming in against a West Virginia team. Who, yeah, the press is there, but they do not shoot the ball well either.
Yeah, West Virginia, Marshall over Wichita State is another upset a lot of people are taking. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to get West Virginia and Wichita, and I think West Virginia is going to get past Wichita State in that next round. I think that's an upset matchup to watch for in the round of 32.
Karim guy to watch in that game, Jonathan Stark, 6-foot senior guard from Murray State, scores almost 22 a night, shoots it ridiculously. That's a guy that I'll be rooting hard for Johnny Stark to play well, which reminds me of you know, Bulls, Knicks, Starks, the whole thing. Right. Let's go West Region, and who do you got as a Cinderella in your West Region, Hill, which is the number one seed, the Musketeers of Xavier. Carolina has been playing great basketball, and they're playing close to home to start it. So there's that, and I got a big time upset in the West Region for you. But go ahead, who do you got?
I mean, I don't have a super deep Cinderella for this region, but Florida State's an interesting team to watch, just because I think they're the tallest team in the tournament. So defensively, that's going to help them out against some of these smaller lineups that they might be going up against. I have them going no further than the Sweet 16 because they would match up with Gonzaga at that point, and I think that Mike Few's a better coach. He's been there before. He knows what's going on. So if Florida State and Gonzaga match up, I'm going Gonzaga, going deep in that region. But watch out for the Noles. They might be somebody that surprises. And they could knock off Xavier.
And what about your Michigan Wolverines?
I kind of go against my own logic here, because every single time that these brackets come out, almost everybody gets amped up about the Big Ten. They're going, oh, Purdue's going deep. Michigan's going deep. I've got Michigan State and Michigan going deep, not so much Purdue. I don't know, just the way that the region stacks up, especially if we can get some wrenches thrown into the works here. Xavier, they are the top seed, but that's always kind of the weakest spot that you want to be in.
Right.
I like Michigan. I'm not extremely confident about it, but just North Carolina and Michigan, those are the two teams to watch out of this region. If you're picking one of those two, you should feel pretty confident in them going deep.
And rewinding back, this Ohio State's getting upset by South Dakota State.
This is the region in
the West region. I have bias to teams that I've seen in person, but I saw Michigan play Northwestern and lose to Northwestern, and the Wildcats of Northwestern, one of the more disappointing teams in all of college basketball this year. So it's hard for me to pick them past the Sweet 16, but I do love Mo Wagner and the size that Michigan brings. Mm-hmm. So plus they tend to do well come tournament time. So there's that. But the Providence Friars.
Oh boy.
Yes. First of all, the Friar Dom is one of the great mascots in all of college basketball. So there's the 10 seed.
He doesn't play in the game, though.
So. He doesn't, but he stares at you and he stares you down. Providence had a huge deep run in the Big East tournament. They played overtime games. They made big shots at the biggest of times. And they start three guards, two of them are seniors. I love senior guards. And you got it every year, well, not every year, but since 2011. Eight teams seeded from 7 to 10 have made it. One of them has made it to the Final Four. So you got to pick someone. Here's a team that's had some big ones. They've beaten Xavier this year. They've beaten one seeds. So I am taking the Friar to make a deep run.
Wow.
Because I don't really. It's hard. I'm scared by the first round game with A&M, and then I get more scared with Carolina. So it's not going to be easy. But just mark it down. You heard it here. You can yell at me, but I got Providence.
Well, if you don't want your bracket to get busted, you should take Texas A&M in that first game, because the Aggies, they've got three really good players. They got DJ Hogs, like one of the best shooters in the country. So, and you know,
yes,
Providence, They don't rank in the top 40 in any of the things they're good at. They're like, oh yeah, they're good at all of these things, but they are bottom 40 or they're not in the top 40 in any of the things that they're good at. They can't shoot the three. It's a baffling pick.
They're beating one seeds. They multiple times. By the way,
are they going to beat them in the tournament? I'm telling you,
Providence. So the Hill Final Four: Virginia,
yep.
Michigan, Michigan State, Kansas,
mm-hmm.
and I've got Arizona to win it all. We'll get to that in a second. TCU, Villanova, and Providence. You got to believe. And I've got Arizona winning it. Who do you have winning it?
Michigan State. Rock and roll, baby.
Okay.
Let's do it. Going against all of my Big Ten bias here. Rock and roll.
Yeah. Well, okay. So there you have it. Arizona, Michigan State, and we have we've solved the NCAA tournament
we've
bracket.
We've solved it.
Okay. Before we get to NFL free agency, it is time Tom Brady stepped up and he chugged a beer.
He did.
And he did it.
Surprisingly.
I mean, it was impressive.
I mean, just the fact that he was drinking beer.
I didn't think you would. I was like, really?
He's on like a saltwater diet and something weird. So I was stunned
when
I saw him drinking a beer.
How's your chugging talents?
They're not what they used to be. So.
Well, we're going to see him in action right now, Hill.
All right.
We have the, I've got the fan-sided beer right here. Fan-sided beer, which is not really fan-sided beer, but hey.
It's the beer of winners.
Right. Hill, I'm terrible at this.
Are you?
Just so you know.
Well.
Do I have to finish this whole thing? Is that the deal?
Do your best, man.
Just like Providence, do my best. Do you want me to? I read up about some tips. Do you want to know the tips?
What are the tips?
I'm very nervous to do this. I don't know
why. To drink beer?
Yes, I'm very.
Why, have like you a, never drank beer? Is this your first beer, Carm?
This could be my first beer.
Is this your first beer?
Today. My first
Ladies
beer
and gentlemen,
today.
Carm's I'm first beer.
All right,
on
cheers.
Pie day.
Let's do it. Here All we right. go. The chug. One,
there
two,
you go.
Three.
All right, man.
Delicious. Did I win?
You won. You won.
You didn't finish it.
Not your dignity.
I took it down.
You that won the beer chugging.
That is a victory. That right, is a Carm. Win.
Carm,
did
that's...
Did I get some on me? Apparently, I did.
No, you're fine, man. Yeah. You're dry.
Woo!
You did it better than Tom Brady.
I don't think so, I did.
I think you did.
Did I? Okay. This is a terrible moment.
This is the greatest thing we've ever done, so...
I mean, I said you got to get in there. I had to live the dream. All right, well, there you go. Brady greater than Carm.
Carm greater than Brady.
Right. I mean, look, you got to...
Somebody's got to do
you gotta
it,
You got to get in there. All right. On that note, let's go to NFL free agency here, Bill. So, this is officially 4 Eastern today it starts, but everything's going on. So,
oh, yeah.
Who you loving here, Hill, with so many quarterbacks on the move? Minnesota. Now you got Kirk Cousins with $84 million and a three year guaranteed deal.
Yeah.
Is this the new time?
Is this
a thing? I like it.
Minnesota, they grossly overpaid for Kirk Cousins.
Did they though?
They did, but they had to. That's the thing. This is usually when a team overpays in free agency, it's because they're panicking. Minnesota, they're in an arms race in the NFC North. You've got Aaron Rodgers, who's the best quarterback in football, who's really looking at this guaranteed contract right now, saying, how much is he going to get if Kirk Cousins is getting 80-plus million guaranteed? You've got Matthew Stafford, who's one of the best quarterbacks in football. Mitchell Trubisky, you know, to your homerism here, he's actually looked really good last year. He's got some promise, and he could be somebody that the Vikings have to compete with down the road. So they didn't have anybody, and that's a problem that the Vikings have had since forever, for as long as I can remember. Bringing in Kirk Cousins, he's not the best quarterback, but he's going to do just enough, I think, to stay out of his way. But he's not perfect. Vikings fans thinking that this is going to be Randall Cunningham in 1998, they're going to be sorely mistaken.
Right, but okay, so Case Keenum goes to Denver. But hold on a second here. He gets $18 million a year, right?
That's a lot.
Okay, so you're paying 10 more for Kirk Cousins, and you're only paying one more year for him. I mean, the reason why I like it is it's a lot of dough, but quarterbacks now, look, Mike Glennon got $18 million from the Bears last year. Like, $20 million is nothing. So now you're paying a little bit of a premium, but you didn't go all the way deep down the road. So I think I actually think it was a pretty overall safe investment, by the way.
Well, it's smart by Kirk Cousins, because here's what Kirk Cousins did. I think he's earned, either with this contract I think is with this contract, like $124 million in guaranteed money. And he's going to be hitting free agency still again, in his prime.
Again.
So he's going to get another big paycheck.
Right.
So this was a great, great, great job by Kirk Cousins to keep getting paid. My issue is I don't know what it does to the quarterback market because you have Aaron Rodgers. And to all the Packers fans out there saying, oh, he's going to take the Tom Brady discount. It's not going to happen. No, Aaron Rodgers, his ego is bigger than anything else, and he's going to want to be paid more than anybody else in football. He's going to want to be paid more than Kirk Cousins. So this is going to be a problem later on down the road.
And he, well, look, he deserves it. So I Aaron Rodgers, you want to argue that Brady's better than him, you can, but you can also make a very, very strong argument that Aaron Rodgers is the best player in football.
So that's going to be the contract that breaks the market because we got a bubble that's going and going and going, yeah, and that's going to be the contract that bursts the bubble. Eventually, we're going to have to reset here. We're seeing it happen in baseball right now. Teams are afraid to pay players. It's going to happen in football, too, and I think the Rodgers contract, because of this Kirk Cousins contract, is going to do
it. See, I would argue like the Blake Bortles contract is going to break the quarterback. Blake Bortles worth $20 million?
Well, he already got his $20 million, and it hasn't broken anything.
Well, right, but it's like when people start looking at what they've done
comparatively. Yeah, skews the market. That's for sure.
Let's talk about what the Browns did. They go out and they trade for Tyrod Taylor. They've avoided taking a quarterback in the draft, and now they're betting on Tyrod Taylor, which I think makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you don't want to go into the craziness that is free agency, I'm going to go get Tyrod Taylor and. He's helped the Bills become a playoff team. What do you think of Cleveland's move?
I am still convinced that they're going to go quarterback at some point in this draft. Maybe it's not as high, but it could be. Don't be surprised if they take him with one of either the first or the fourth, or they trade down into the middle of that first round. Because the model in the NFL, and we saw it last year with the Eagles, and we're seeing it other places too, with the Bears to less success, sign or get somehow a veteran quarterback to come in. He can serve as a bridge to your rookie. It used to be you have the veteran, you draft the rookie, and then he goes. The old Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers model. Now it's you sign Mike Glennon, you draft Mitchell Trubisky, and then it goes that way. I mean, the teams will have more success, and that's what they're doing. You got Tyrod Taylor. They're not locked into him long term. They can draft a really good rookie quarterback, develop him a little bit, and then hand the keys over to him.
Quick history lesson. The Browns went into 2017, along with to what you're saying somewhat here, DeShone Kizer, Cody Kessler, Kevin Hogan. Mm-hmm. None of them had a win.
No.
And still none of them have a win.
Exactly.
How amazing is that?
John Dorsey didn't bring in any of those guys, and he's the one in charge now. And that's the point here. The general manager in Cleveland is the best general manager that they've had in a very long time.
They're going to win some games this year. The Browns are going to get at least 3 wins, Cleveland.
Well, it's not about this year. It's about the future. Like, they're not drafting and making these moves to win this year. They'll be better this year.
They also
signed
Carlos Hyde for the record. I mean,
they did, and that's not going to take them out of the running for Saquon Barkley either.
You think that they should take Saquon Barkley?
The Carlos Hyde versus Saquon Barkley? No,
no.
We can go a 2-back system.
No, I get it, but are you taking Saquon Barkley, a running back at that point in the draft?
Absolutely. If he's there at 1 or 4, you're going to definitely consider him. If he's there at 4, they're definitely going to take him.
But are you going to take him at 1 overall?
I take him at 1. Yeah. Who else are they going to take at 1? Would you go
quarterback? I'm just focused on, like, am I going to take a running back number 1 overall? No, there's no quarterback
that's
I would take there either.
That's the thing that has hurt the Browns and hurts these franchises. They're like, oh, we can't take player position X right here because you never take a player at this position here. And that's stupid. You don't go, oh, we can't take a running back number 1. You know, if he's the best player and he helps you the most, you take him. You have 2 picks in the top 5. You don't get precious and say, oh, we can't take him because you never take a running back number 1. Take him.
I would agree with in general to the philosophy of if you best player available, that's how you should go about your draft. You never go wrong that way. No. Take the best player available, and if you have a surplus, you can always swing him for something else. All right, moving on to the Denver Broncos, and let's get into this Case Keenum. We've had the Paxton Lynch fails. We've had the Brock Osweiler fails. We had the Trevor Siemian fails. So he's going in. John Elway trying to make him 8 years in now. The years without Peyton Manning have not been very good. No. So he goes for Case Keenum. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I'm kind of in the middle. But I think if you have enough around Case Keenum, as proven by this year, NFC Championship game, you can do some things. And I mean, Denver needs more than just Case Keenum. But I think it's a fair play by Elway at the end of the day.
That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at this is it buys them time. It buys John Elway some time. It's not a long contract. They can draft a guy. They can draft a guy next year. They're going to have Keenum, and they'll be able to kind of transition into the next era. And that's, again, the model that we're seeing Cleveland do and a lot of these other teams. Buffalo is probably going to do it. You draft a guy, and then you have a veteran to hand the keys to him. And Case Keenum is very capable. I don't think that he takes him to the AFC Championship game because the AFC is a lot harder to win in than the NFC is. But I don't hate it. It's not the worst contract in the world. The thing is, it was the best that the Broncos could have done. And that's the problem. If the best you can do is Case Keenum in free agency, there's problems elsewhere in the organization that you need to start thinking about.
Traded up to select Paxton Lynch back in 2016, who, by the way, lost back-to-back training camp battles to Trevor Siemian, who was a seventh-round pick. Just want to mention that one more time, right out of the Wildcats. But so, at end of the day, I just kind of wonder, like, a Broncos fans, are you trusting John Elway at this point?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, I talked to Terrell Owens on the Market. He's like, absolutely, I trust him.
No, and what has John Elway done to give you to give you any sort of confidence that he knows what he's doing? You just listed off the quarterbacks that he's taken.
Right.
How many of those have worked out? It's one thing to hit and miss on a couple of different guys. It's another thing to consistently miss. And that's a problem. When somebody consistently misses, there's other problems here.
So you think that John Elway needs to go in Denver is what you're saying?
It's the tough thing. It's like the old, not to the same degree, but when Phil Jackson was in New York. He's been there before. He's a legend. How do you push a legend out? Same thing in L.A. How do you push him out? How do you say we don't want you anymore? And John Elway, because of those two Super Bowls, he's a legend in Denver. And how do you say to the most famous face in franchise history, you're bad at this, sayonara, and this is the end? Like, that's tough. That's tough to do.
That's way more difficult than getting rid of Phil Jackson, who was a... Right. I mean,
I can't believe you're sleeping.
You just Elway'd Phil Jackson.
Close, though. Like, the moves that he's making make no sense whatsoever. Phil Jackson's on another Zen level of insanity with these moves, but John Elway is the closest thing that we've seen in football to somebody who has absolute power, doesn't really know what to do with it, and kind of shoots at a dartboard and says, all right, this might work.
End of the day, I think you righted the ship with Case Keenum, though, which is a scary thing to say, but I think he made a fair, reasonable. He didn't hit a home run, but a nice. It's a nice double. We'll give him a double. All right, let's go on to the Chicago Bears.
Okay,
Ryan Pace, their general manager, fires John Fox.
Yep,
and of course he drafted Mitchell Trubisky last year. Hires Matt Nagy out of Kansas City, and good now move. He's trying to build an offense for him. Allen Robinson coming, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton, wide receiver, tight end. The Bears were atrocious last year offensively, and mainly can't put it on a rookie quarterback. He did not have pieces around him. So the question is, what grade are we giving Ryan Pace, and are the Bears all of a sudden a competitive team in the NFC North?
Competitive to a degree. I don't think that they're going to be competing for a playoff spot this year. I think that they're going to be much better than they were last year, and that's going to come down to Ryan Pace building around Mitchell Trubisky, which is the smart move to do because Mitchell Trubisky looked good last year at times. He showed a lot of promise, and there's a lot to like there. Matt Nagy's offense with Taylor Gabriel. Taylor Gabriel is essentially going to act as the Tyreek Hill of this offense.
Four-year deal for Taylor Gabriel.
And he's going to be the Tyreek Hill in this offense because Matt Nagy, a lot of success in Kansas City with kind of the same structure. You've got not the best, most sexiest name at your number one wide receiver slot, but you've got a really good tight end, and you've got a really speedy second wide receiver. You kind of are seeing what he did with Kansas City last year, ported over to Chicago, and it looked really good in Kansas City until other things kind of went wrong. So there's a lot to like here if you're the Bears fan and you're looking at what's going on with this offense.
This beer dried up yet? Allen Robinson.
It's dry up anytime soon, man.
Let's talk about Allen Robinson for a second here. He super fast, knows how to run routes, but he's coming off an ACL tear, and the Bears are all in. And I'm hearing a lot of love for Allen Robinson, $25 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean,
you got a lot of injured players around the Bears. Like, he goes out and he drafts Kevin White, Ryan Pace. That's his first draft, but guys have been on the field at all. Leonard Floyd was the number 9 overall pick, struggling to stay on the field, undersized. Now you're going to go out, your big signing. Here's a dude coming off an ACL tear.
I mean, Chicago teams love grabbing guys coming off ACL tears, don't they? Bulls and Zach LaVine, you've got here. You've got the Bears and Allen Robinson.
You Phil Jackson, John Elway, now you Zach LaVine, the Bears. And Zach LaVine's, by the way, doing okay.
He's doing fine. What's wrong with Zach LaVine?
No, he's fine.
Allen Robinson, look, he had Blake Bortles thrown to him, and he looked impressive. So that right there is an endorsement. If you can look good with Blake Bortles thrown to you, Mitchell Trubisky, he's no Blake Bortles. He's going to be better than that. He fits into this offense. I like it. The Bears are being aggressive, trying to build around their quarterback, and that's what you have to appreciate about this. It wasn't a deep wide receiver class, and they got the number one guy on the board.
Receivers are getting paid right now. I mean, it's one after another after another.
And second-tier wide receivers. Right. Ryan Grant got a lot of money for being a very not good wide receiver.
Well, we can move on to Sammy Watkins in Kansas City. Which, I mean, the Chiefs kind of make you want to scratch your head right now as to exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Sammy Watkins, deep threat. Was it $30 million guaranteed for Sammy Watkins? Do I have that right? Let me double check my notes. But a lot of dough here. And this is a guy who it is $48 million, 30 of it guaranteed. Okay, another guy who can stretch the field with Tyreek Hill, but I don't know. Should Chiefs fans be super excited about Sammy Watkins coming?
I mean, we're gonna have to wait and see. Like Sammy, it depends on what version of Sammy Watkins you're getting. Are you getting the one that the Bills thought they were getting out of Clemson? Or are you getting the one that fell off and needed to be traded and didn't really, like last year? Robert Woods was the guy everybody was talking about in Los Angeles. Watkins was productive, but he wasn't the best guy on the team.
Caught 39 balls last year, for the record, mm-hmm. which was fourth on the Rams.
Yeah, exactly.
He also, again, to stretching the field, he only Deshaun Jackson, Tyrell Williams, T.Y. Hilton had more yards per catch than Sammy Watkins at 15.9. Mm-hmm. And Watkins has the most touchdowns of those four. So you can throw that in there, too.
Look, this comes down to scheme fit. They're clearly trying to build an offense that Patrick Mahomes can be successful with.
That's the
and he already has Tyreek Hill and he already has Travis Kelce. And now you're throwing in Sammy Watkins. It's attractive on paper, but a lot of things about the Chiefs were attractive on paper last year, and then they lost to the Giants at one point. So I'm not convinced that the Chiefs are – I mean, they're going to score a lot of points. But there's a lot more that goes into this than, oh, yeah, they added Sammy Watkins. All of a sudden, now they're competitive. It makes them interesting. I don't know if it makes them the best team in the AFC. It kind of helps them tread water because defensively they have a lot of problems that they need to fix. And it seems like they're masking that by wanting to score a ton of points. They're going to try to win shootouts. That's a problem because when you try to win shootouts in the NFL, it usually doesn't always work out well for you, especially when you've got a defense like Kansas City does.
Let's wrap up here. NFL free agency. The Chiefs mm-hmm. are not going to make the playoffs next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're just going to settle on that?
I don't.
That's a quick transition.
I don't think they will.
No? Why not?
Well, why not? Because, first of all, Alex Smith, I don't think, got enough credit in Kansas City, and now he's in Washington. And so I think you're asking a whole lot for a rookie quarterback to come in, mm-hmm. well, who will be a second-year quarterback but hasn't played. And every other move they made, what was that Marcus Peters situation, which is very confusing?
Yeah.
I am, what would they call it in the stock market? I am bearish on Kansas City. Let's do the 49ers, who no longer have Carlos Hyde, but they do have Richard Sherman and Jerick McKinnon. Mm-hmm. 3 years, $39 million for Richard Sherman, really?
You don't like it?
No.
Why?
Because he's hurt. Mm-hmm. He's coming off an Achilles tear, you look at him, you try to forecast a guy like that, and to me, he looks like he's just about to fall off a cliff. I also trust Seattle in how they evaluate players. And I know that the Seahawks were willing to bring him back mm-hmm. for less money, but the fact that a guy like that, they just said, okay, San Francisco, you can have him. To me, that says all you really need to know about the future of Richard Sherman.
Seattle needed to dump money. They were bleeding salary caps.
That's true.
So that's why. A lot of times when these moves are made, when veteran guys are cut, people will look at it and say, oh, he's washed up. He's done. He's about to fall off a cliff. The Philadelphia Eagles looked at some of those guys last year who everybody said, oh, he must have got cut because he's fallen off the cliff, and won a Super Bowl. They put together a really good roster in the offseason. They took guys, like, you know, you take a look at like Torrey Smith and some of these guys that are like, oh, yeah, he's spare parts. He's used up. No good. Super Bowl. The John Lynch has put together a fantastic, fantastic roster
in
San Francisco.
That's
he knows
true.
What he's doing. Okay, he's not going to bring in a guy like Richard Sherman and give him gobs of money if he's just going to, you know, collect a check. And he also comes in and he gives something that the 49ers desperately need, culture and direction. He's going to come in and he's going to be a locker room guy.
That's
Well, people always hate on Richard Sherman for being a loudmouth and this and that, and he's not. He was the voice of the Legion of Boom. He was the voice, the loudest voice on one of the loudest defenses in NFL history. And you tell me you don't want that guy in your locker room looking at that San Francisco defense and saying, hey, this is how it's done. This is what we did up in Seattle. That's fantastic. You mesh that together with Garoppolo and what he's going to do and Shanahan, like, that's a really good core to have at the top of your team.
I do want to be clear in that. Richard Sherman, mm-hmm. off the field and in the locker room, all social media, all of it, big fan. And I take nothing away. Now, that at some point, though, things do go south. And Achilles injuries are serious and very hard to come back from.
Yeah.
Plus, like, if you're the Niners, I would get it more if you're one player away. Like, okay, we're going to take a flyer on Richard Sherman. We'll give him $39 million, although – what was it? Like, his guarantee was very low. Mm-hmm. So don't get an agent, Richard Sherman. What are you doing? But
he's a smart guy. He can do it himself.
He didn't do a great job with his guaranteed money here. But so I don't think the Niners made the most sense for Richard Sherman versus a team that could actually was a player or two away from being over the top. I mean, you think San Francisco's a playoff team?
I think San Francisco's a playoff team. I think there was a power shift in the NFC. What about them doesn't make them a playoff team?
Well, okay, you're really betting high
on the excellent football that I saw Jimmy Garoppolo play in the last bunch of weeks of the season and the job that Kyle Shanahan did. Look, they were winless for a large portion of that season, but go back and look at some of those
games.
They
were close games.
They lost by three or less points for most of those games. They took teams to overtime. They should have won. They were a winless team. They played like a winless team because a winless team doesn't lose those games. But they were a lot better. They were probably, like, I was waiting and waiting and waiting weeks after week to write on Fansided that the 49ers are the best winless team that we've seen in a very long time. And it's true. They were just a little, they were a player or two away from winning those games.
I'm giving you a high five for calling out I'm giving you a high five for calling out that the night, because I did pick San Francisco probably 4 weeks when I'm like, this is the week. And every single week they were right there. But I just, Jimmy Garoppolo is a Pro Bowl quarterback because that's how he played at the end of the year.
Yeah. He is.
I'm okay. I need to see more. I'm sorry.
Defensively, they're going to get better.
I need to see a little more.
And you bring in somebody like Richard Sherman, who's been in Seattle. He's seen these
Miss
things.
Miss Carlos Hyde?
Well, no. Richard Sherman's built a team from the ground up before. He was there at the ground level for the Legion of Boom. And there's nothing about this 49ers team that suggests they're not going to be on a rise like that. We saw the Rams do this last year. There's been a power shift for years and years and years. It was Seattle and Arizona gunning for that number one spot in the NFC West. Now it's shifted. It's going to be San Francisco and it's going to be Los Angeles. And that's the way of the future here. And Richard Sherman, he's a smart guy. He can read the future. He can read the tea leaves. He's in San Francisco for a reason.
The reason was the dough.
Well, according to you, he could have got more money elsewhere.
Well, if he had a real agent, yes. But I mean, I think he just saw the $39 million. He's like, okay, sweet, three more years, $39 million. No.
Richard Sherman is nothing about Richard Sherman suggests that he's a guy that's going to go, oh yeah, this is a good snap decision.
There's nothing wrong with chasing a couple dollars. I think it's the way of the world. Right. I'm not faulting him for that. For the record, all right, great stuff, Joshua. Great to be with you today. You were an outstanding.
This was an excellent day to be here.
You were an outstanding performer. This will dry up at some point. I did win the Beer Chug Challenge. Thank you so much, at least in my own mind. Thank you so much for checking out On the Mark NCAA Tournament. Arizona's going to take it all. Bill's got Michigan State, and he's got the San Francisco 49ers in the playoffs in 2018. Thanks for watching.